This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
6:13 on this Tuesday morning, now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday, Monday off the Board of Trade, saw corn higher, soybeans lower, and wheat also higher, oats higher as well on Monday. First off, taking a more in-depth look at corn, those futures yesterday started Monday lower but turned higher in the mid-morning session. The competitiveness of U.S. corn in the world market and uncertainty over production totals in South America offered underlying support. Unwillingness to short the market ahead of Thursday's WASDE release also kept futures in the green. At midday, funds were estimated to have bought approximately 12,000 contracts of corn. Traders will be closely monitoring corn balance sheets moving forward. Even though sales remain high, export inspections are not up to the needed volume on a weekly basis. There are also questions surrounding ethanol manufacturing for corn. Weekly corn export inspections totaled 28.9 million bushels in Monday morning's report. Monday numbers also included an upward revision of 5.7 million bushels from last week. For the respective crop year to date, the U.S. has exported a record 434 million bushels of corn. That's a 68% increase from last year. However, in order to meet the USDA's annual export forecast, weekly inspections need to average approximately 58 million bushels a week for the balance of the marketing year. Talk continues to persist surrounding Chinese interest for feed grain and ethanol, so traders will continue to look for any sales confirmations. Rumors Monday indicated China booked two cargoes of U.S. ethanol. USDA will release its December crop report on Thursday. Estimates for U.S. ending stocks for corn and wheat are expected to remain near unchanged. Taking a look at basis, corn was slightly firmer nearby on Monday and a penny weaker for February. Barge freight was 5% firmer on the Illinois River for December corn, while the St. Louis market had a softer tone. Producer selling was quieter on Monday. Processor values held mostly steady. And moving on to your beans report, a lack of buying interest and ongoing beneficial weather in South America pressured soybeans in the overnight session and early morning trade on Monday. However, by mid-morning yesterday, bean futures had moved into the green, but ultimately ended the session mixed. North and central Brazil are receiving needed rainfall, with more than expected over the next few days. However, traders will be monitoring the extended forecast closely, as both areas along with Argentina look drier for the next 10-day run. Sellers have also appeared somewhat hesitant to push futures too far into negative territory ahead of this week's WASDE report. USDA will release its December crop report as well on Thursday. For beans, the expectation is to see ending stocks lower than the current 190 million bushels. U.S. soybean export demand has slowed, with daily flash sales announcements glaringly absent over the recent weeks. Although recent rumors persist that China is booking new crop beans out of the U.S., weekly bean export inspections continue at a strong pace. Monday morning's report totaled 84.4 million bushels of beans inspected for export. Of that total, 56.5 million were destined for China. Monday's numbers also included an upward revision of 14.2 million bushel from last week. For the respective crop year to date, the U.S. has exported a record 1.081 million bushels of soybeans. Recent import data indicates China imported 9.6 million metric tons of all-origin soybeans in November and 8.3 million metric tons for the same month last year. On basis, bean values were changed little on Monday, with the exception of the April time slot, which is 4 cents firmer. Producer selling was slow on Monday. Processor bids were generally quiet. So again, let's recap your grain futures from yesterday, Monday off the Board of Trade. December corn finished at 419.5, up 2.5 cents. March corn at 424, up 3.5 cents. May corn at 426.75, up 3.5 cents. Soybeans for January closed at 1158.5 on Monday, down by 4.5. March beans 1162.5, down by 2.5. May beans finished at 1163.25, down 0.5 cent. Wheat in Chicago for December up 4.75, 571.25. March wheat up 2 cents, 577.5. May wheat closed at 581, up by 2.25 cents. Oats for December finished at 325, up 11 and 3 quarters. March oats up to 318 and a quarter, also up by 11 and 3 quarters. Bean meal for December closed at 386.50, down 230. January bean meal 382.30, down 320. And bean oil for December finished at 38.87, down 32 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Monday afternoon. In northern West Illinois country grain, the oldest quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents at 392 to 423. Soybeans are 4 cents lower at 1109 to 1154. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 5 cents at 405 to 430. Soybeans are 4 to 5 cents lower at 1136 to 1164. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are up 1 to 5 cents at 405 to 445. Soybeans are 2 to 6 cents lower at 1137 to 1183. Illinois soybean processor case, soybean bids were down 2 to 5 cents at 1167 to 1179. Basis was steadied up 3 at 8 over to 20 over the January. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 382.30 to 392.30 a ton, down $3.20 a ton, with basis unchanged at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor case corn bids were 4 cents higher at 419 to 449, with basis steady at 500 to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge flooding elevators coated to produce the corn bids up 4 cents. At 4.25 to 4.29, basis unchanged at 1 over to 5 over the March. Soybeans ended down 5 to 8 cents at 11.51 to 11.58, with basis unchanged to down 3 at 8 under to 1 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading commodity placer produced the corn bids 3 cents higher at 4.50 to 4.53. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 4 cents, quotations at 11.84 to 11.85. Soft wheat closed up 2 cents. Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 494 to 495. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 392 to 427, soybeans at 1109 to 1154. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 404 to 430, soybeans at 1139 to 1176. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 411 to 452, soybeans at 11.45 to 11.91. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock report here on a Tuesday morning. Monday trading for cattle closed in the red, and hogs finished triple digits lower on Monday. Taking a look at cattle, Monday trading closed with the cattle futures complex in the red. Fat cattle futures were down 80 cents to $1.37. December futures were a discount to last week's cash trade on the first notice day. Feeders closed with triple-digit losses in the front months, limited to $1.97. The feeder cattle index was at 139.18 back on Thursday of last week. Cash trading was quiet Monday. Census data showed October beef exports were 258.337 million pounds. That's 8% above September and 8.8% ahead of last year. Year-to-date exports are trailing last year by 5%, with 2.4 billion pounds shipped. Wholesale box beef prices continued working lower Monday. Choice boxes were quoted at $230.80 after a $4.22 drop. Selects were at $209.48 after a significant $8.03 drop. USDA had estimated that Monday's federally inspected cattle slaughter was 119,000 head. That matches the start to last week, but trails the same Monday last year by 2,000 head. Moving on to your hog report, at the end of Monday's trade, the board showed $1.07 to $1.62 losses for the front month lean hog futures. Pork cutout futures closed $1.07 to $1.17 weaker on Monday. The fresh bacon index from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange was at 126.66 on the week, ending on Friday. That was up $3.26 a hundredweight week over week. The lean hog index was another 29 cents weaker Monday at 66.26. USDA's national average base hog price for Monday was 6 cents higher, 55.37. Census data showed another record export month for pork with 589 million pounds shipped in October. That was the 16th consecutive monthly record dating back to June of 2019. China and Mexico were the top destinations with 135.6 million and 135.56 pounds, respectively. Year-to-date, pork exports were reported at 6.01 billion pounds, which is 307 million pounds shy of last year's total, with 2 months of data to add. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was down 27 cents on Monday at $77.90. USDA's estimates that the federally inspected hog slaughter for Monday was 497,000 head. That's even with last week and up 4,000 head from last year. So to recap your livestock futures from yesterday, Monday, off the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for December closed at $108 even, down 87 cents. February live cattle Monday at 111.02, down $1.37. April live cattle finished at 115.15, down $1.02. Feeder cattle for January closed the Monday session at 137.80, down $1.97. March feeders 138.15, down $1.27. April feeders Monday closed at 139.45, down $1.32. Finally, moving on to your lean hog futures, December hogs finished at $64.50, down $1.37. February hogs at $64.95, down $1.62. April lean hogs finished Monday at $68.90, down $1.60. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is Monday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain prices were lower on Monday afternoon as beneficial weather in South America weighed on grain values today. In northern West Illinois cut grain dealers quoted chow corn bids up 3 cents at 392 to 423. Soybean bids are 4 cents lower at 1109 to 1154. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted chow corn bids up 3 to 5 cents at 405 to 430. Soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents lower at 1136 to 1164. In the southern part of the state, chow corn bids were up 1 to 5 cents at 405 to 445. Soybean bids are 2 to 6 cents lower at 1137 to 1183. Illinois soybean processor case soybean bids were down 2 to 5 cents at 1167 to 1179. Basis was steadied up 3 at 8 over to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 382.30 to 392.30 a ton, down $3.20 a ton, with basis unchanged at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor case corn bids were 4 cents higher at 419 to 449, with basis steady at 500 at 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loving elevated coated air producer corn bids up 4 cents at 4.25 to 4.29, with basis unchanged at 1/5 over the March. Soybeans ended down 5 to 8 cents at 11.51 to 11.58, with basis unchanged to down 3 at 8/1 under the January. East St. Louis barge flowing tomatoes place their producer corn bids 3 cents higher at 4.50 to 4.53. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 4 cents, quotations 11.84 to 11.85. So if we closed up 2 cents at 6.07 to 6.08, Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 4.94 to 4.95. And contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 3.92 to 4.24, soybeans at 11.09 to 11.54. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 4.04 to 4.30, soybeans at 11.39 to 11.76. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 4.11 to 4.52, soybeans at 11.45 to 11.91. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by DeKalb Asgrow, by the McAdams Millwright Service, and by Linco Precision. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Stein Seed and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News on your Tuesday morning. Desperately needed COVID-19 relief may finally be in sight in the waning days of the outgoing Congress, though questions remain about how, if any, new farm aid might be tailored. A partisan logjam over a scaled-down virus relief bill may have finally been broken, sparring new hope that just over $900 billion in aid for the unemployed, businesses, and states and cities will be attached to a must-pass government funding bill. Still in question is the shape of added help for producers who lost billions of dollars to the pandemic in crop, livestock, and ethanol sales. Outgoing House Ag Chairman Colin Peterson.
I just hope that whatever they end up doing in agriculture, they don't just give money away. That they focus it on what is actually needed and required and not just give out direct payments to people whether they need it or not. We don't have the kind of money to be doing that kind of stuff.
The Senate, in an earlier failed bill, proposed $20 billion for agriculture, updated in the latest proposal to add $6 billion for nutrition aid and $10 billion for rural broadband. Peterson had this to say on not targeting the $20 billion.
And I think that's a mistake. Yeah, no ethanol, no, you know, stuff at the packing plants. And, you know, it just, that's coming out of the Senate. You know, they've tried for the last 6 months to have a $20 billion slush fund. And frankly, we've had enough slush funds. I mean, how much money have we put out there out of the CCC with the COVID and MFP payments and all this other stuff?
Instead, Peterson argues with this.
We need to focus this in on the meat industry, the supply chain, the packing plants, places that we know have potential problems and need help.
But Peterson complains some people got help earlier that didn't need it, and he's leery of just giving the Ag Secretary a free hand to decide how to distribute the new aid. The National Milk Producers Federation is urging the Department of Agriculture to extend the sign-up for 2021's Dairy Margin Coverage Program to January 30th. The extension allows dairy farmers to make better informed choices while giving both milk producers and USDA staff strained by coronavirus-related challenges additional time to communicate. The current sign-up deadline of this Friday, December 11th, remains in place while USDA considers the request. NMPF President and CEO Jim Mulhern says extending the DMC deadline to the end of next month will, quote, allow farmers to better focus on the turbulent marketing environment we now expect to see in 2021 once we are all through the upcoming holiday season. DMC, the main federal risk protection tool for dairy farmers, is projected to support producers enrolled at the maximum $9.50 per hundredweight coverage level through at least the first half of next year, as volatile market conditions are expected to persist well into the next year. Farm loans outstanding at commercial banks declined in the third quarter of this year, and non-performing loans edged slightly higher. The Kansas City Federal Reserve says reduced lending in agricultural banks contributed most significantly to the further decline in outstanding loan balances. Alongside lower farm debt levels, delinquency rates on agricultural loans continued to trend higher at a gradual pace. Most of the recent decreases was driven by non-real estate loans, which were nearly 5% less than the previous year, the largest drop in over 15 years. Farmland loans also decreased for the second consecutive quarter and at a faster pace than the second quarter of this year. The combined pullback in both loan types led to the largest decline in overall farm debt in any quarter since the late 1980s. Although the overall rate of non-performing farm loans increased, loan quality remained higher at agricultural banks. Difficulty related to the COVID-19 pandemic continued to weigh on farm lending and loan performance, but government programs also may have offset some borrowing needs and supported financial conditions for farmers. And yesterday, Growth Energy released a new report examining the potential climate benefits of a nationwide transition from standard 10% ethanol blend fuel to 15% ethanol. The report was authorized by Air Improvement Resources Incorporated, a leading research firm in the area of mobile source emissions modeling and technology, at the request of Growth Energy. Based on the analysis, Growth Energy estimates that if the United States transitioned from E10 to E15 in the nation for 2001 and later modeled year vehicles, GHG emissions would decline by 17.62 million tons per year, which is the equivalent of removing approximately 3.85 million cars off the road. marketed to consumers as unleaded 88. E15 is approved by the EPA for all light-duty vehicles model year 2001 and later, which is 95% of the vehicle fleet on the road today. Growth Energy's CEO, Emily Score, says, quote, "The evidence is clear that higher biofuel blend will play a vital role in America's clean energy future." And in news from our state to the west, Missouri Farm Bureau Federation members elected Garrett Hawkins as its next president, taking the reins from longtime outgoing president Blake Hurst. As noted by AgriPulse, Hawkins becomes the youngest state Farm Bureau president at 40 years old. Over the weekend, the organization elected Hawkins over Vice President Todd Hayes and USDA Farm Service Agency Administrator Richard Fordyce. Hawkins has deep roots within Missouri Farm Bureau. He served as a youth ambassador and was active in Collegiate Farm Bureau in Missouri State. He also served as a summer legislative intern for the organization before leading its national lobbying efforts and policy development process for nearly 15 years as director of national legislative programs. From 2017 to 2019, Hawkins served as deputy director of the Missouri Department of Agriculture. Hawkins says, quote, "Our family made this decision together, and we intend to serve together," adding, "We believe strongly in the grassroots mission of this organization and look forward to serving its members over the next 2 years." And moving on to our featured ag story here for this Tuesday, with Christmas right around the corner, sales of real Christmas trees could set a record this year. USDA's Gary Crawford explains why in this report.
While some of us are cutting back on buying some products because of COVID-19 and the pandemic and all, there is at least one commodity that's doing very, very well.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
We already know that it's a record year for sales.
Tim O'Connor helps run the National Christmas Tree Association. He says Christmas tree lots and tree farmers have been reporting sales a lot higher than in recent years, and he says the pandemic is at least part of the reason.
As people wanted to have a family Christmas at home, wanted something authentic and real, wanted an outdoor experience with their family to go get a tree.
To check out that theory, I headed out to Evergreen Acres. That's the Choose and Cut Farm in Virginia that I always go to every year. And the very first thing I see, a jam-packed parking lot. Far more cars than I have ever seen at this farm. So now we start to talk to some of the folks out here getting their trees. It turns out, for so many people, it's their first real tree or their first tree that they've cut themselves at a farm.
We've always had a fake tree, and so this year we decided to do it for the first time, and we liked it so much, so it's going to be a tradition for our family.
You think that the COVID situation, the pandemic, all of that might have something to do with you and all these people coming out to get real trees this year?
Yes, I do. I think it's made people a lot more traditional and in, you know, doing things, I think, a little more special at home because we're home a lot more.
So it just kind of feels like home again.
It's the first time we've ever cut our own Christmas tree, yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, you feel more connected to the land when you cut down your own tree, right?
I think the nostalgia of a real tree is one thing, and the smell of it.
More fun.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like Christmas if it's a fake tree.
Yeah, more Christmas spirit.
So I've never had a real tree in my whole life, and my boyfriend always has, so we came to get a real tree together. So I've never done this. It was so cool.
And here's a couple here. Just a bit older than most of the folks out here. Is this your first time to come out and cut your own tree?
I never have. I think my wife has.
When I was a kid. I haven't done it as an adult.
So that's the kind of thing that we've been hearing time after time. Many tree lots and choose and cut farms have had what Tim O'Connor with the Christmas Tree Association calls a tremendous first 2 weekends. And some have reported
they might make it through one more weekend and then many of them will have no more inventory left. They've had such a run.
But don't panic. O'Connor says everybody will be able to get a tree, but as the holiday approaches, it might take a little extra hunting to find that special tree. Here comes the tractor loading up some intrepid tree hunters, and that's not so easy to say, to take you guys out to the trees. Okay, just like we practiced it, one, two, three.
Merry Christmas!
That's the spirit. This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thank you very much, Gary. And moving on now in a state of Illinois Ag News. For the first full week of the month of December, it sure won't have the feeling of Christmas here across the state. A sunny and mild week is ahead for the rest of the week, and Chris Miller with the National Weather Service Office in Lincoln explains La Nina continues to strengthen, and in doing so, this type of weather pattern we're experiencing is very much in line with a La Nina trend. Another driving force in these dry and mild conditions is the drought, which he points out can often feed off of itself.
This type of weather pattern that we're expecting, that we're already in, is definitely in line with La Nina. The La Nina just keeps strengthening. And for those that aren't familiar with it, it's cool water at the equator off the coast of South America. And you know, what does that have to do with the weather in central Illinois here? Well, it impacts the weather actually globally, because weather patterns change based on the water temperatures, especially in the Pacific Ocean. This was very much in line with one of those La Ninas, particularly when it comes to the temperatures being extremely variable, up and down, kind of, you know, your roller coaster ride of temperatures. The only thing different that we haven't quite established yet with the La Nina pattern is typically in much of the Midwest, especially the eastern Great Lakes, we get above normal precipitation, and we haven't seen that here in central Illinois. Some of that could be due to the drought, because the droughts tend to feed on themselves. And so when you've got a lot of dry ground, dry air over a good-sized area, and this drought extends quite a ways back. I mean, we're looking at it from the point of central Illinois here, but moderate to severe and in some cases extreme drought extends back across northern Missouri, all of the plains from Texas all the way to the Dakotas, the western U.S. So this drought is covering almost half the United States, and we just happen to be kind of on the eastern arm of it here, the eastern edge of it. That's going to kind of drive these weather patterns as well.
And according to Miller, if you're hoping for a white Christmas, that too is unlikely, as warm and dry conditions are looking to persist into the first of the year. He notes, though, hope is not lost, as there is always the possibility of an isolated snowfall near or on Christmas Day. And moving on finally here onto local ag news for your Tuesday, don't forget that today is two webinars hosted by the U of I Extension. Today at 11 is the Farm Program and Crop Insurance Decisions for 2021 webinar. That's hosted by Gary Schnittke, Nick Paulson, and Jonathan Kappas with the University of Illinois. They'll help you make your decisions on ARC, PLC, and the Enhanced Coverage Option, or ECO, and the Supplemental Coverage Option, SCO. Again, that is this morning at 11. The other webinar today is this evening at 6:30. It's the Health at Home Holiday Edition, balancing extra calories throughout the holidays. You can learn tips to enjoy your favorite food along with a dash of physical activity to keep yourself moving into the new year. That will be hosted this evening by Lisa Peterson, food and wellness educator with the U of I Extension, and again is this evening at 6:30. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here for a Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, December 8th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.